The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show.
As the announcer of this show, I sometimes ask myself, to what shall I compare Eric? Shall I compare him to a summer's day? Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May.
But not Eric. I'll tell you, nothing shakes this guy.
And now here he is, wearing green leotards and a jester's coxcomb, Eric Metaxas.
Exit Todd, stage left.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to hour one of the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm here with my posse, my crew. that's Albin.
Hello, hello, hello.
I think a guy in a crew can't be named Albin. Okay, so Albin and Chris,
yes, sir.
I've got a couple of things that you don't have to jump in, but I just want to make sure in case you do want to jump in. I want to share in just a second. We have two outrageous guests today. Number one, David Horowitz. If you don't know who that is, away, because in a moment you're going to find out who David Horowitz is, and you will not be disappointed. The dude is on fire. He's on fire. And then in hour two, we have Bob Woodson. He's an American hero, my friends. Bob Woodson is an American hero. He's going to be talking about the 1776 Project, which he has put up against the 1619 Project. You don't want to miss it. In a minute, I want to share about Elon Musk. I want to share about Obamagate and the Never Trumpers. And I want to share where we are as a nation. And at the end of this hour, Albin, you're going to give a short review of my new book.
I have a short review.
Okay, yes. So that's after Horowitz. You're going to do that. Okay, so but before I share about Elon Musk and Obamagate and all this kind of stuff, we have a couple of service announcements. Tomorrow night on this program, on this computer, wherever you are, Facebook Live, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, I am hosting Not Allowed to Laugh with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager. And we're going to be talking about the film that they made called No Safe Spaces. You already know about the film because I talk about it here every day. NoSafeSpaces.com is the film. Do we have a code for that one?
Yes, yes. Use Save 25.
Save 25. Okay. But if you're not convinced yet, we're going to really have some fun tomorrow night, Facebook Live, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on your computer. And I just have to say, if you can, don't miss it and tell your friends, because I never do stuff like this. Facebook Live with Adam Carolla. I've never met Adam Carolla, but obviously I'm a fan. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I also want to say Patterns of Evidence. PatternsOfEvidence.com is the website. There are a number of films that I just want to say, I believe that we need to know that the Bible is true. I'm actually writing a book about it right now. These are films where the host, Tim Mahoney, makes it really clear that the Exodus and all those events can be shown to be true. We kind of need to know. We need to be conversant in these things. Anybody says, well, the Bible's not true or whatever. Trust me, folks, the Bible is true. And actually, if you don't trust me, let me encourage you to look into it for yourself. A lot of people have good questions, but something like Patterns of Evidence helps us to see, why people like me, for example, say that if I'm a betting man, I have to bet that the Bible is true, that these events did happen. So patternsofevidence.com, check it out. And we have a Save 25 code. Okay, two other quick things, and then I'm going to rant and rave about Obamagate.
Real quick. It's just put Eric in for the code for Patterns of Evidence.
Eric.
10% off.
Eric.
Eric.
Okay. Eric. Just use the code Eric. Otherwise, we don't get credit for it, Albin. I know. We're gonna go out of business. They're gonna shut us down, and all the other radio programs are gonna shoot up.
They're gonna laugh at us. You know, okay, no laughing matter.
We need if you go to Patterns of Evidence, use the code Eric just so they know where it came from. Same thing with Honor Bound Coffee.
Right.
Honorboundcoffee.com. Use our code and tell your friends to use our code. Otherwise, they tell us we don't get credit, and it's bad. Okay, I just have to share before I go on and on about Obamagate and the Never Trumpers, Angel Tree Camp, folks. I'm going to read. I want to read something. We've been talking about Prison Fellowship. Every year sends kids. These are the kids of those who are incarcerated. Okay, you can imagine. You know, they live in cities. Angel Tree Camp is set up so that we can send these kids to the camp. But this year, it's really tough. A lot of these camps are closing, so we're sending them care packages when we can't send them to camp. And I think we have a quote from an Angel Tree field director in Oklahoma who is one of the people who identifies kids who will receive these care packages. And let's see if we don't have that. We'll get it to you later. James, can we play that clip? I don't think we have it. All right. Well, in any event, this is, you know, in all 50 states, Angel Tree is doing this. And we just want you to know about it, because I think sometimes when you do something good, when you do something beautiful, it takes your eyes off of your own troubles, because this is such a weird time for so many of us in so many different ways and things. But I just want to encourage you to give to Angel Tree, give to Prison Fellowship. But you have to go through our website, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner. Now, we want everyone to participate. So I say that over and over. We want everyone to participate, to give whatever you can. And whatever you give, it's going to bless the children of prisoners. And I want to say that whoever gives any amount, you get entered in our grand prize contest at the end of this month. We're going to announce a grand prize winner who's going to win like 100,000 signed books, maybe not 100,000, but a lot of signed books, autographed books, and perhaps books in the room behind me. If you're watching this on video, I will sign them to you and a visit to the studio and all kinds of stuff. But anybody who gives $200, which is what is being requested by Angel Tree for this package, $150 of that is grocery gift cards, a new Bible with study materials, sports equipment that kids get to pick, a note of encouragement. That's if you can give what they request for $200. Anybody who does that gets a signed copy of my brand new book, Seven More Men, which Albin is going to review after we talk to David Horowitz. I want to mention that.
I'm reviewing it.
Okay.
Afterwards.
But let me rant and rave for a minute. Elon Musk yesterday, I've talked about civil disobedience. We're at a moment in the nation where people need to be aware of what's going on. We're becoming aware of what it is to have freedom, what government overreach can look like. And we've talked about it with John Zmirak. We've talked about it yesterday with Jenna Ellis. And we'll talk about it, I think, with David Horowitz probably in a minute. But Elon Musk, I don't know where he is politically, but he's a guy who cares about the bottom line. He cares about money. He cares about producing his cars in California. And he tweeted yesterday that he is going to open up his factory and he's going to be on the assembly line. And he's going to do this in contravention of what the governor has ordered. And if they come to arrest anybody, to arrest him first. And I tweeted something about, I said, this is what principled civil disobedience looks like. Incredible that he did that. And I tweeted, this is what leadership looks like. I just want to take my hat off to him because he understands that he has people that, I can go on and on. I just want to say a word on the Obamagate thing. We've had Never Trumpers on this program. I recently did a dialogue at the Q conference with one of the most prominent Never Trumpers, David French. He's a Christian. And what I've been saying on Twitter is that we must at this point say that if the former president is guilty of half of what they are saying, if he genuinely used our intelligence agencies and the FBI to go after his political enemies. That is the definition of lack of character. That is the definition of lack of character. And we're going to be talking about that more on this program in the future. But my goodness, I just can't believe it. Lots more ahead when we come back. David Horowitz, buckle your seatbelts, folks. We'll be right back.
They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, I have amazing guests on this program. And right now, I bring you the legendary David Horowitz from an undisclosed location. David Horowitz, welcome back.
Thank you, Eric.
I know you're in a bunker with Cheney in Wyoming, and you don't want everybody to know, but it's an open secret, all right? You're in the bunker with Cheney. Who's not? You know what I'm saying? You have a new book coming out with a particularly humorous to me title. The title of the book by David Horowitz is coming out very soon. It is Blitz: Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. Now, David Horowitz, isn't that redundant? Trump will smash the left and win and blitz. Let me just see if I can read between the lines. You're saying that Trump is going to win in November. Is that what is? Am I getting it?
Yeah. As a fellow author, you know, the publisher has total control over titles.
Who's the publisher?
Humanix. It's Newsmax.
Oh, Newsmax. Okay. So, yeah.
And I think a more accurate description of the book would be the Trump Wars.
The Trump Wars.
But it's fine with me.
Well, so the title of the book is Blitz.
Yeah, people think that I'm going to be attacked by the left because of Blitzkrieg.
Right, Blitzkrieg. Oh, my God.
But it's actually a football term.
Well, you exactly.
So they rushed the quarterback.
Yeah. Thank you for redeeming the term. Thank you from taking it away from Hitler and giving it to the hands of quarterbacks all across America. So you are predicting that Trump will win, but there's a lot that you have to say on this. Let's get started. What are your thoughts today, Tuesday, the 12th of May, on where we are as a country? What is going on?
Well, we have exposed the first coup d'etat in American history this week. They went after Trump knowing, and when I say they, Obama, Biden, Clapper, Comey, the intelligence community, and most of all, Brennan, head of the CIA, went out to destroy Trump's chances of winning by spying, using American intelligence agencies to spy on the Trump campaign. It's horrific to even speak of it. Unfortunately, Republicans are timid about naming what's going on. Not Trump. Trump's already called them human scum and treason, traitors, which is what they are.
You could take that in a number of ways, of course. We're not sure what he meant by the term human scum. He's a very
these people,
guy, as we know.
These people set out and they destroyed. Look what they did to Flynn over absolutely nothing. Of course, they bankrupted him. He had to give up his house. It was $6 million. It's now been, we're in the third year, I guess. And they destroyed a lot of other people by targeting them. The Democrats have no compunction about accusing Trump of killing coronavirus patients. The mayor of Atlanta says he killed this black guy who was murdered in Georgia. The Democrats will say anything. They don't care who they hurt, who they destroy. They claim to have evidence for 3 years, but then the other thing that came out this week, because Richard Grenell is the acting director of national intelligence and forced the release of these hearings that Schiff held in a secure basement and only leaked tidbits favorable to his plot to overthrow Trump. He needs to be in jail. In other times, these people would be shot.
Well, let me ask you. Let me just finish.
When they forced the release, these were from the impeachment hearings, where Schiff wouldn't let them out. Well, now we know why, because every witness that he called from the Obama administration or who was hot or in the deep state, every one of them said they had no evidence that there was any collusion between Trump and Russia. And they knew this actually going in when they started this all. So the $35 million Mueller investment, and he was part of it, Mueller is part of this crew, that $35 million investigation was not only a waste of money, but it was a sabotage of the American government. There has never been such a heinous crime committed against our government and our people in the history of the country.
Now, David, even
the Civil War, they seceded from the Union.
It was more principled.
Yeah.
The Civil War was more principled. The Confederates were more principled in their dissent I just want to say that, you know, if anybody who's been paying attention over the last few years knew that this was happening. The difference is that it is now clear. We now have the information.
If you read my book, it's all in there. I didn't have this information, but it was so transparent.
Right.
The impeachment proceedings were such a fraud from the beginning. And Schiff was this pathological liar from the beginning. No principles. I'm still in a state of shock. I was in a state of shock the minute I realized that the intelligence agencies were being used against the political
campaign. Okay, David, but this is the point, is that the only appropriate response is to be in a state of shock. And in other words, people need to understand what has been happening. This is not politics as usual. This makes, you know, the goofy, the White House of Nixon to just look like a college prank. This is something
exactly
that
right.
never has happened. And you've said this in the United States of America. Never, never in our history have we witnessed any kind of abuse of power like this. And so we should all be appropriately stunned that this.
And it's crippled us, it crippled Trump in fighting, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians. That whole Russia collusion thing prevented him from, working to manipulate Putin into putting pressure, say, on Kim Jong-un in North Korea to be reasonable. All these crises, the ones in the Middle East, Russia was directly involved and Trump's hands were tied by Schiff and Pelosi. These are evil people. This is not, I've been on both sides of the political spectrum. I grew up on the left. And I understand. People spin and they exaggerate. But I've never seen anything like this ever.
I'm glad to hear you put it that way, because I really think that, again, people need to understand the scope. It's a monstrous thing that has happened. And now to have the notes, to have the proof, to have the breadcrumbs leading back to President Obama, it is genuinely horrifying. And I guess my question is, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that the people in leadership are going to be able to bring about at least some measure of justice?
Well, if Trump weren't president, I'd say no. You look at the Republicans and the conservatives generally and their media, they're still calling these people liberals. They're vindictive bigots. There's nothing liberal about the Democratic Party. Absolutely nothing. They're racists. I can go on and on. What do Republicans say in the midst of this? Say, the Democrats are playing politics. No, this is not politics.
No.
This is war. Right. When they declared a resistance, boycotted the inauguration, set about accusing Trump of being a racist, of being anti-immigrant. Every time the New York Times publishes the words anti-immigrant in front of Trump, it's not only a lie, it's a lie designed to destroy another human being. He's not anti-immigrant. There's a million immigrants a year of all colors and sizes coming into this country legally in the Trump thing. So the Democrats have so distorted the political dialogue, and they're still doing it today. It's frightening. I don't like to feel, I mean, I understand, and I've written a lot about why people differ over various issues. I think a two-party system is essential to a democracy, but you can't, we have a party that is so devious and so destructive and so criminal is what they are. And when you destroy people, that's a crime.
Well, look, we're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to David Horowitz, but what we're talking about, you need to understand the level of this horror. This is unprecedented. We need to face it and we need to fight. We'll be right back with David Horowitz. Christian best-selling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Hey, folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to David Horowitz, whom you probably know from his previous books. The new book is titled Blitz, and it's all about American football in the 1970s. David, am I getting that right?
A little bit wrong.
Wrong?
It's about the war against Trump and against America. It's about how the Democratic Party has become a racist party. Identity politics is pure racism. You judge people on their skin color, their gender, their sexual orientation, and if they're Christians, they're triply damned. That's the way the Democratic Party is operating now.
It's okay, but
they
spread
these lies. The big lie now is that Black people are hunted in America. Actually, Blacks kill whites, racial crimes, twice as much as whites kill Blacks. It's tragic. Well, it's horrible.
What they're trying to do
in a country where Black people are hunted.
What I want to say is that the horror here to me is the twisting of the narrative. Right. In other words, if somebody commits a murder in America, it doesn't matter why they committed the murder. We have a law against murder. Period. You
exactly.
can do it for a great reason. Well, or a bad reason, it really makes no difference. Murder needs to be prosecuted.
The concept hate crime is totalitarian. It's thought crimes.
That's the point.
Kill somebody, that's a crime. It doesn't matter what delusion you kill them under. You know, and their crimes are always hate. I mean, how can you destroy another human being without hating them?
Well, let me ask you, when what I find particularly nefarious about the twisting of these kinds of narratives and about forcing things into these stupid categories is what it does is it really pushes people who see good and evil and who condemn evil and who condemn murder. It almost makes you want to be quiet because you realize, well, wait a minute. Of course, I'm against what happened, but I don't want to jump on this bandwagon that sees this specifically as some kind of a lynching or something. I mean, you have two bad actors, two sick human beings who did a horrible thing, who should pay the price. And yet it's almost being implied that unless you buy into this victim liberal narrative, that somehow you're on the side of these evil people who did this. It's like we can't even see a murder sort of fairly through clear eyes anymore because we're so divided.
No, and it all works under identity politics. If the blacks are the perpetrators, they're protected because they're a victim class. If whites are the perpetrators, they're crucified.
I know that there are many friends of mine who don't like this president. Some of them hate him. But I think we're at a point in America where we really have to look at first principles. In other words, you have to say, listen, forget about Trump. Let's just talk about America. If a former administration, a former presidential administration, tried to do X and Y and Z, can you, who are a never Trumper, nonetheless condemn it? That's to me the question right now, David, is do people who don't like this president, can they nonetheless finally see what has been happening and will they condemn it?
I'm actually in a state of shock over that. I mean, I've lost friends of 60 years because of this. I mean, I think families have been divided. Friends have been divided and so forth. I long for the Democratic voice that will stand up for power. Of course, there's Jonathan Turley is one. Alan Dershowitz is another. But I don't see any political figures in the Democratic
Party. But I'm even talking about Republicans who are never Trumpers. In other words, you would...
They're the worst. I can't... The Boulevard, I mean, they're disgusting. Just disgusting. I mean, I blame the whole coronavirus on Trump. It's completely idiotic. You know, one of the things my book does, it opens with the fact that Trump, he was 30 years in public life, maybe longer, but he was a big public figure through The Apprentice and just through all his business enterprises. Nobody, I mean, he was never identified. I mean, some extremists call him a racist, but no, you know, he's friends with Hillary and Bill, you know, and most of his money went for liberal causes. Suddenly he runs for president and he's a white supremacist, and patriotism now is identified as white nationalism. Why is Trump called a racist? Well, it's simple. They saw him immediately as a threat to their corruption. And what is their corruption? Democrats control every inner city size in America. The majority of homicides are committed, the majority of robberies, where the schools destroy the lives of young Black, mainly Black and Hispanic kids, year in, year out, 100% controlled by the Democratic Party, and has been for 50 to 100 years. And if you remember, Trump gave this speech in Michigan, and he said to the Black community, what have you got to lose for voting for me? You know, you live in miserable conditions that are imposed on you by the Democrats. They don't care about you at all. All they care about is your votes. I mean, that's a direct threat to the Democrats can't win elections unless they have 90 or 85% of the Black vote. And all other Republicans are totally intimidated from saying this.
Okay, hang on. We're talking to David Horowitz. The book is Blitz. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Moses, I have been removed. I have seen the specter. He has been here too. Distant cousin from down the line.
Hey, folks, welcome back. I am talking to David Horowitz. The new book is Blitz. It is all about the war against President Trump. And David, you were just talking about the Democratic Party. Go ahead.
And I would say it's about the threat the Democratic Party poses to America. There has never been such a comprehensive indictment of the Democratic Party as in my book.
This and is the question.
Everybody's intimidated. Why they call the Green New Deal socialism? The Green New Deal. I mean, I have a chapter called Green Communism. That's what it is. They're going to confiscate 276 million gasoline combustion engine automobiles. You think they can do that without instituting a police state? Of course they can't. And then they announce that's exactly what they're about. I'm not in the term I put. Right at the top of the Green New Deal and Cortez's announcement of it. And by the way, it's the Democratic establishment behind this. Not only in the announcement, but, you know, when Cory Booker, they all compare it to World War II. We're going to have a World War II mobilization.
Right.
It's martial law. And that's right. The only way they can get any of it through. And you can see there's Elizabeth Warren. On day one, when I'm president, I'm going to destroy this whole industry. How un-American is that?
Look, you know the left. But when did the Democratic Party and why did the Democratic Party take this fatal turn away from being a party that was at least half decent? What happened?
I've been a student of this for 50 years. It started in 1968 when Tom Hayden organized a riot where he wanted there to be bloodshed. I mean, they blew up a policeman's statue to heroic policemen. They provoked the police because they wanted to destroy the Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey was a very liberal Democrat, and they destroyed his chances. They elected Nixon. Understand that they were saying that Nixon was a fascist, and there would be millions of Vietnamese slaughtered if Nixon were president. They deliberately elected Nixon because under the theory, the worse the better. This left, these Tom Haydens, the Jane Fondas, then marched into the Democratic Party in the McGovern campaign, created these caucuses, the Black Caucus. These are all extreme left-wing caucuses, the Progressive Caucus. That's where you get, the Ilhan Omars and the Tlaibs and these pro-terrorist congresswomen. And this went on for, they called Bush Hitler. Saddam Hussein had murdered 300,000 Iraqis, put them in plastic shredders. And the whole left went out to defend Saddam Hussein and call Bush a Nazi. And the Republicans just weren't up to fighting. Bush never defended the war.
But isn't this the key is that Trump, the problem with Trump is that he will fight back, and he is fighting. And this is why
they fear him.
Because they have never been treated this way before. That, if you attack George Bush, he will let you get away with it. And he did. And he didn't stand up to China. He didn't do his job. Obviously, Clinton and Obama didn't. But previous Republicans have somehow allowed these things to continue. And this president, for whatever reason, has decided to fight.
They have a big sign on themselves, walk over me. They controlled the Congress from 2010 to 2016. And they got elected every 2 years, pledging to repeal and replace Obamacare. And they never did. Why? Because they're afraid of being called racists. Because the Democrats will call anybody that opposes them on a crucial issue,
kind of leaders, in other words, what leaders specifically, if you're willing to mention them, on the Republican side, lack the backbone? Because it's obviously
Paul Ryan, no brains.
Paul Ryan,
yeah, they're just folded.
Well, he's gone. Who is still there who was guilty of this?
Well, look, I don't want to create an internecine warfare in the Republican Party. I think that Trump has so succeeded in everything that he's done that he has brought the Republican Party into his camp. The thing is that it's instinctive with them. How come Republicans don't talk about the atrocity that Democrats are committing against Black people in the inner cities? How come none of them mention it? It's crazy. The only Republican I ever heard call a Democrat a racist was Trump. And he did that against Elijah Cummings because Elijah Cummings, like all of them in the Black Caucus, they've all sold out their people. Elijah Cummings' district is rat infested. It's one of the worst. Baltimore is one of the worst cities in America, period. But especially for its Black population. And only Trump would call Elijah Cummings a racist for becoming a millionaire representing Baltimore. But they're all corrupt that way. This Clymer is a big fan of Louis Farrakhan. Clymer is one who...
Who is a fan of Louis Farrakhan?
James Clymer. He's a racist. And he's the one who anointed Biden. He's a power, and he's in the top leadership of the Democratic Party.
I'm a little lost. I don't know who Clymer is. I thought you meant Adam Clymer of the New York Times. Who's James Clymer?
He's the one who anointed Biden. He's the one who stepped forward and came out for Biden and destroyed Bernie.
And
And the fact that Bernie Sanders, a lifelong dedicated to communist dictators and the atrocities they committed, that's who Bernie Sanders is. Very angry, very hypocritical multimillionaire. Where did he get his millions? He got it from taking it from his campaign funds. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And you have, what bewilders me is there's a lot of intelligent people in the Democratic Party, and they all seem to be going along with this.
Well, see, that's the thing. We're going to have to go to another break here, folks. I'm talking to David Horowitz. The new book is called Blitz. I think you can spell that. This is horrifying stuff, and we need to do it justice. We need to talk about how it's unprecedented and it's horrifying and how we need to face what has happened, what's happening in America. We'll be right back with David Horowitz.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on.
Hey, folks, welcome back. We are talking to David Horowitz, and we're going to keep him over into the second hour. And then we're going to talk to our friend Bob Woodson. You do not want to miss Bob Woodson. This man is an American hero. Amazing. But before we go back to David Horowitz, we got a couple things we have to talk about. Alvin, we promised that you would give a brief review of my new book, Seven More Men. I just happen to have a copy in case anybody is watching.
Hey, how did you get a copy? I've got a copy too. I thought they only printed one of these.
If you're trying to promote a book during a national pandemic shutdown, it's kind of tough. So but I did not ask you to review my book.
But I really want to review it. And I hope you don't mind, but I wrote down a couple of notes and I want to refer to those notes. In fact,
We're on the air now. Across America are listening. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now, just so you know, and I'm going to advise this to everybody else, you know, there's Seven More Men, they're stellar fellas. But if you read it all in one false swoop, you might get confused as to who's who. For example, Anne, after I finished reading the whole book in one sitting, Anne says to me, so what was it about? What were these guys like? And I said, well, I didn't know that Alexander Solzhenitsyn had discovered 100 uses for the peanut.
Right.
Didn't know that.
That's the problem. I write about seven men. Every one of them is distinctive. Every one of them is heroic. But you do get confused. Most people didn't know that George Washington Carver found 100 uses for the peanut and was an amazing scientist. And sometimes you're just going to roll that information right into the next chapter.
Or that Billy Graham like picked off all those German machine gunners. I didn't know that about Billy Graham. Or George Whitefield, great preacher, right? I didn't know he was sent to the gulag because he made fun of Stalin's mustache.
And his son is my friend Franklin Graham, George Whitfield's son.
Unbelievable. Okay, here's something. Now, I got to correct you on this. General Booth, you had a whole chapter on General Booth. Now, I did not know that John Wilkes Booth started the Salvation Army. But why, with General Booth, you should have said something about the Lincoln assassination, right?
I feel bad for people who are tuning into this program who don't know what jerks we are in advance, because they are so confused right now. We like to joke on this program. Sometimes we joke grievously.
And I must say, though, I'm very proud of Albin York. I mean, I think my mother named me after Albin York. My shooting skills are not as good, but Albin York was a great addition to Seven.
Is it safe to say that if you had been born as an albino, your mother would not have named you Albin?
I don't know. You have to ask my mother.
Because that would be like she's making fun of it or something like that.
It could be, and that's not
okay. So look, Albin, that was by the way a fascinating review of my book. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, you wrote that? Oh, no, great. It's even better.
All right. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with David Horowitz. David Horowitz is he's amazing. He has a new book out called Blitz. And then we're going to talk to Bob Woodson with the Woodson Center. You should check out woodsoncenter.org if you want to know who he is in advance of my discussion with him, woodsoncenter.org. And we should remind you, don't forget to go to MetaxasTalk.com and give what you can to Angel Tree Camp, to Prison Fellowship. The banner is right there. Folks, I promise you, this is an amazing, wonderful organization doing great things. It's just terrific. If it's possible for you to participate, please do anything. Do what you can. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com, and we'll be back hour two with David Horowitz and Bob Woodson.